Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, this is Bruce Norris. Thank you for joining us. Today, our guest is Ward Hannigan. Ward Hannigan has been a trustee sale buyer and a trainer of probably the most successful trustee sale investors in California. Ward, we thank you for joining us today.
You betcha. I'm happy to talk to you, Bruce.
You train people outside of the state of California. In other words, people want to go to other states. You actually make the effort to become an expert at a requested state. Is that true?
Yeah. What I do is I go to the internet, find the pertinent foreclosure codes for that state, and then study them before then they arrive. We've done 17 states besides California because I think it's criminal to teach somebody some generic.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't apply to their area.
Yeah, that was when we decided to do the California-only label because I really realized you can't say you teach a national foreclosure course. It'd be 20,000 pages long.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I congratulate you for doing that. And I don't know anybody that's done more than one state, so that's hard to do. It really is.
Well, it sounds like it's hard to do, but if you know that foreclosures basically are two types, judicial, non-judicial, that there's some, Nevada and Arizona are like trustee states. Yes, they have their own little timeline routines and stuff like that, but, the basic broad brush foreclosure approach is the same because they're all non-judicial, whereas back east, they're judicial.
Yeah. Since we've last talked probably over a year ago, lots happened, prices down about 40%, foreclosures exploded. So is this good or bad?
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. It's mind-boggling because if you've been in a market as long as I have, starting back in the 70s and coming forward, you have experience. You think back on, well, how bad was it the last time and on. This is just absolutely mind-boggling. I mean, never before, Bruce, have I been in the 70s or 80s or 90s where you had the credit markets locked up and frozen, housing markets paralyzed, unemployment scooting up, the financial markets are absolutely being destroyed, and the stock market's going. I mean, everything is locked and frozen.
Yes.
I mean, usually, if the housing market was in the toilet, the stock market was booming or something, you had some alternatives. Here you got zip.
So I gather you see this as the worst downturn we've ever experienced in our lifetime.
Yeah, for me, sure. And I'm an old dude, man, 69. So. Long time.
Yeah. What also has happened is the speed of this downturn has been astonishing.
Yeah, and I think what's going to also surprise many people, I love hearing you talk about it because you're not duped. And that is the persistence of it. This is not going to be over tomorrow or the next week or just because there's a new president. This thing is going to be with us for a number of years, meaning that if you know what to do, you've got a number of years to profit from it.
When someone takes classes now with you and they take foreclosure training, what direction are you saying, okay, this is in this niche there's opportunity? Because there's multiple niches in the foreclosure world.
Yes, but I tell them that those multiple niches, most of them are in a booming seller's market, and I'm at odds with some people who want me to mute my strong feelings that a lot of those niches are now, basically useless. And I'm telling people you've got to develop an ability to raise cash. Focus on that. That's just as crucial as any other skill in real estate. Don't be shy about it, this and that. And then go after where the big fish are, and that is right at the courthouse steps.
Really, I think you're right and honest in telling people that really has to be the only worthwhile game for the next few years because, in Riverside, we did a boot camp recently, and we had the daily list from County Records Research, and there was a trustee sale that was from 1999, so the only one on the daily list that had a chance for equity. So the sale was for 100 grand, and so we pulled up the same inventory in the MLS, and it was for sale for 90. Mm-hmm. So a 10-year-old loan didn't have equity.
Right.
So, that's the market that we're in right now.
Yeah, it is. It is. So you have to be, what happens is, and when you get like towards the top of the mountain to climb or something like that, it's much more perilous than when down at the metal just walking up to the mountain. And so therefore, you really got to watch where you put every little finger. You're going to get blown off the peak, you know. But it's so exhilarating when you can do it.
The reason people are losing their homes this time, is it different than the last downturns?
You know something? I really don't care.
Okay.
I mean, I hate to sound so brutal, but I found out over a long period of time, once I got over my initial curiosity when I started in business, how can this be? How can this person, I call them lopsided deals. You know, the house is worth $500,000 and they only owe 50 and it's 3 days away from foreclosure. I said, how can this be? This doesn't make any sense. There's got to be something wrong here. And I spent all this inordinate amount of time trying to figure it out. I found out later on, because he was dead or he was in jail or he's a doper or, you know, wife died or something happened, you know. But the end result's still the same. No matter why he's in foreclosure, it boils down to, do I want to buy this property or not? And that's based on a bunch of different parameters, you know, how much profit, how fast, you know, that kind of stuff.
Unemployment going up, what does that usually do to foreclosures?
It actually, I'll give you an idea. The credit and housing, the unemployment and the financial markets and all that has a tendency to paralyze the average person, frighten them if they got any money, and decide that, you know what I'm going to do is put it back under the mattress and not do anything, let this blow over and hope I'm not a victim, mm-hmm. hope I can keep my job. So it has a tendency to tighten up the average person, okay? And so that means that you have a lot less competition.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay. You know, it's funny when I know you talk about things that appear to be bad and you say, but that's really good. I guess that's really good for an investor then.
Right, right. In fact, and another thing that's confounding some of my competitors at the courthouse steps is it's almost impossible for them to figure out, and I love it. You know, and I was giving a talk the other night in Orange County, and I said, what you think is good is bad. What you think is bad is really good. Mm-hmm. How many people here in this room? There's 100 of you. How many people want me to give a seminar that's so good that, you know, every single thing, all your questions are answered, this and that. How many people want that seminar? And they all raised their hands. And I said, well, come on, wait a second. That means everybody sitting next to you also is enlightened. Right? And they're in the same county, so they're going to be popping up down at the courthouse steps. Let me ask this question again. How many people want me to give the best, or let's say, how many people now want me to give the worst seminar I could possibly give, confuse everybody, they want to walk out of here in their headaches. How many people want that? About 90% of the room raise their hand to give them the worst seminars capable, just so I don't smarten up the guy sitting next to them.
You know, there's a lot of people that think it's very simple to do the foreclosure business and go to a trustee sale. So,
yes, and my heart, you know, it still does go out to people. I haven't gotten over the urge to step up at a sale and say to some person, you know, I know that you're here probably for property and such, right? Yeah. Well, did you realize that it has this or it has that or something like that? I said, look, I've done my work, and you know, and they brush me off, and they go ahead and bid on it, and, you know, they're buying a second or a third, and it's not a first, and you know, all that kind of stuff. Maybe they got a property, especially if they got a property profile clutched to their
And a Zillow estimate.
Yeah,
that's when you know you're dealing with a pro.
Yeah,
we see that in the auctions all the time. You see a Google Earth photo and a Zillow estimate.
Yeah,
and you know you sit next to him and you're looking at him. And go, did you see the property? No. Go, okay. You sure that's a good idea? Anyway, now you just said something that I have honestly never seen done other than by myself is tell somebody they're about to make a mistake. So what are the odds somebody gets help at the trustee sale?
Very little.
Yeah, zero. Like pretty much zero.
Yeah, and even if they get real help, it doesn't help them because they distrust it because, well, if it's so bad, why are you here?
You know? Yeah, plus the reputation of the group probably would go, I don't think I'm going to believe anybody that's here.
Right.
Anyway, just for fun one time, I went to a trustee sale in Riverside, and I purposely qualified for something I knew was a second just to see if there were any friends amongst the group. And what happened was four of the other guys co-qualified for the bid. And then we all sat in silence looking at each other. And at the end of that, one of the guys that you probably know, Joe, came up to me and said, what was all that about? And I said, I just wanted to see if anybody would tell me. And he shook his head. He says, wow. But yeah, there's not too many friends on the courthouse steps.
Yeah, and you can see why.
Because, yeah, absolutely. That's a pro's game.
People ask me all the time, how many people died at the sales? I said, it doesn't matter. It only takes one to bid more than you, and it ruins your day. It doesn't take 20 to ruin your day. Just one other person pays more than you.
Do you find that trustee sale buyers in general, that's the only thing they do?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. It takes almost full-time effort because, you know, research the title during the day. You got to look at it during the day. You got to meet your subs during the day. You're going to the bank during the day. I mean, how many times can you, if you have a job, tell your boss you're sneaking out for a haircut when you got to be gone, you know, every single day?
Yeah.
You know.
But even a real estate investor that's full-time, I know very few real successful trustee sale buyers that are also doing REOs or doing some other form of it. It's one or the other usually.
Yeah, and also not only that, but as you know, that the greatest potential, I emphasize the word potential, profit in a foreclosure game is buying it at the auction, because if there's nobody bidding against you, you pay a penny over the opening bid, and you literally bought the property at the equity position of the foreclosing lender and wiped off below that everything else. So theoretically, that's the greatest buy you can get.
Okay? Yeah.
And so you get addicted to that kind of profit. You know, why would you want to go after something where, you know, REOs, you got to kiss some guy's ring finger, you know, in order to, you know, talk to him.
Well, right now they're trying to kiss ours because not too many people want to buy anything. That's funny. My first trustee sale buy, I was all alone. No one was there. And it was a really good house in Riverside. And the opening bid, I overbid by $100. I was nervous.
But you and I did the same thing on our first deal.
I didn't know you could overbid by a dollar. He looked at me kind of funny, looked around kind of mocking, like, where's the crowd? Why the $100? But anyway, that's what I did. Yeah. And I was afraid. I mean, does that make you uncomfortable when you're the only one?
No. When I was there, my first one is the same exact story. I was bidding on a property. I was the only one there. But I had gone over. I was so afraid, petrified. I was going to lose my money because I was afraid. I didn't know enough to stay out of harm's way after 6 months of studying this stuff. And so I kept going over, and I said, "God, what? Nobody here. There's something wrong with the deal," you know. And I kept going over and over and over the deal in my head, and to the consternation of the auctioneer, who was. And so finally she looked right at me, because I qualified with her for just 5 minutes before. And she turned her head and looked right at me, and she says, "Last and final bid." And I go, $100 more. And Eric was with me, my son. And we went in. He was overjoyed, jumping up and down. We got our first deal. And I, when we left the place, I leaned over the fender of my car. I was driving a Caddy at the time. And I told Eric, "Kick your dad in the butt." And I mean, I really mean this, and as hard as you can. He said, "Why? What's wrong?" And I said, "Man," I said, "I bid $100 more, and it could have been a penny." I said, "Do you know how many hamburgers we could buy at Jack's Box for $99.99?
But you got your first deal.
And,
and you bring up an important point. If you're not sure of your information, don't show up.
Right.
I mean, if you're not that sure, then you will get talked into a hole by somebody that asks you, and approaches you and tries to put doubt in your mind about what you think you know.
Well, the trick that I do with my trainees is I teach my trainees to over analyze the deal. In other words, know more than they really need to know, so that your boat can't be rocked. You see, because it's any little tiny thing that you didn't know about that still rattles you. So I love to have them over rather than under prepared. And and it was good for me, to tell you the truth, that no one showed up the first time, the second time, and third time, because then I was rather blasé. I didn't need the edification or verification of other competitors there to know that I had a good deal. And mm-hmm. I had a person who I really liked, this person, and he said his trick, and he was telling somebody in front of me, my trick is I won't bid on anything if I don't see the pros bidding on it first. He waits for them to make the first bid out of the box. And I looked at him and I said, "Are you nuts?" I said, "Don't you? I mean, if you had your prayers, you would pray that nobody was there." And so you're not going to bid because, I mean, you give too much deference to other bidders. So you should be determined. You'd be the smartest, wisest, canniest guy there, and therefore don't need ratification from other people.
Yeah, that is. You're right. If you're going to be in that business, you better absolutely be the expert.
Exactly.
Yeah. Are lenders lowering the opening bids now?
Oh, yes, and to my dismay. You know, what you think is good is bad, and what's bad is good. And I thought that I had the inside corner on mastering specified bids and taking advantage of it. But now they're doing it now so often, so frequently, that I'm afraid it's going to compel my competition to, try to master it earlier than they normally would have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, how much warning do you get when there's going to be a lower bid
right now? Very little, if any.
Yeah, I know. What good does that do?
I know. It doesn't do any good. And what's going to happen is the lenders are going to find out that lowering the bid at the last minute doesn't have the desired impact they hoped. In other words, we don't research it if we don't think it has any equity. And if it only has equity as a consequence of them lowering it and they don't tell us until 5 minutes before, we don't know enough about the property to know if they lowered it far enough.
Absolutely.
But some of them are now posting. You can get some, it's a minority of them, but some of them are now telling a day in advance or so. You work out a system where you only need a half an hour. So if you go on Lombardi time to the sale 15 minutes early,
mm-hmm.
and talk to the auctioneer and ask him, okay, today's sales, you already know what they are. You got any that are going to be specified bids? Got to use that word, specified.
Now that, it seems like there's some new vocabulary that's come into mm-hmm. play recently, and that's one of the words.
Yes, because if it's a drop bid means just in general you're going to drop the bid, but it also could mean that you drop it just to chum the waters, and then so you go for it, you bite on that lower bid, and then the auctioneer or a representative from the lender then raises it on you, and you need to go back and forth. They're just chumming the waters. But
right.
A specified bid means they're going to drop it, and they're not going to chase it.
So that's an absolute auction at
right.
that starting number.
That's correct.
Okay.
And so if you know that 10, 15 minutes before the sale starts, most of my competition is fashionably late because they know the first half hour is wasted with postponements.
Right.
So I've got 15 minutes before and then 30 minutes before they get to the sale. So I got about a 45-minute window to call the office, tell them to drop bids, make sure that it's in the area I'm interested in, and then they turn on the engine, which allows them to call a title company in real time, get all the liens that are against the positive and negative. While they're doing that, correlate the current value of the property, and then figure out how much time from MLS that we're going to be tied up in that neighborhood, put it through our computerized formula, and it tells us, bingo, the maximum we want to bid in that property. Well, if the drop bid is higher than the max we want to go, still not interested. But if the drop bid is at or lower than that, then we're interested.
Title work, you've made it sound very simple to call up and get a complete preliminary title on the phone in 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And literally, in your business, you have to have access to that.
Yes. In fact, you have to. I think I'm going to start giving classes in schmoozing.
Right?
Schmoozing 101. If you schmooze in your life and everything with your wife and, your boss, this and that, I think you'll be coming out ahead. But it's the same thing with the title industry that's so hungry right now, so desperate for business. I would tell everybody listening to this program that when it's over, just drive by your favorite title company and look in the parking lot. And you'll see that it is, you can have your pick of just about any spot.
Hmm.
Okay, absolutely amazing. If you go by at night, you probably see the lights on one floor and all the others are dark or something. And so now is the time to dangle your title business in front of them and say, hey, you've got to give me an opportunity to be able to do business. If you let me have access, incredibly quick access to title information, then I can possibly buy a deal. And if I buy a deal, I'm going to give you the title business when I resell it 4 months later. One hand washes the other. You got to work with me. All I need is one title company in this valley. You want to be it?
Yeah. And you know what? We've pursued trustee sales at times, and mm-hmm. we just ended up deciding we would pay somebody per hour because we got better results. But you're saying that there's been people that in your people that you've trained have got that for free and have it be reliable.
Yeah, you know, I'm not telling tales out of school, but Metcalf, my first trainee, who's now worth, what, $35 million or something in Orange County, he has First American who actually have dedicated employees that just work on his deal and nothing else in the company. Because he's buying, you know, anywhere from 400 to 500 deals a year.
Yeah.
Because that's an important customer.
Sure.
So, you know, he's got his own shock troops there at First American.
How did you end up in the foreclosure business in the first place?
I was got in real estate in 1970 working for Countrywide when they opened up their first branch office outside of L.A. down in San Diego. 2 years later, I saw the commissions that people were making. It was a lot more than I was getting with Countrywide, so I decided to be licensed, and I wanted to do use my economics degree. So I gravitated towards apartment brokerage, and I sold apartments from 72 to 82. And I was so successful at it because I had figured out that if I could have a buyer be able to buy an apartment house without having to go get new financing, he's not going to argue so much on the price of the apartment and or the complex, and he's going to buy it.
Now, how did you arrange that financing?
Well, I did had an owner of the apartment building carry back, owner carry back financing, but a particular type, as you're familiar with, called the wraparound.
Right.
An all-inclusive. And so he did all-inclusive, wrap the existing financing, and had the owner carry back, had the equity in that wraparound. Once in a while, that would go crosswise. You know, 3 years later, guys calling me, hey, Ward, you know that all-inclusive you talked me to take him back? Yeah, well, it's not performing. And so what do I do? And I said, well, foreclose. I was going to law school at the time in the evening. And, well, how do you do a foreclosure? And I said, well, so I went down to law library and researched the law on foreclosure so I could talk sensibly to my customers about what you have to do. And that started to intrigue me, you know, just in the general subject of foreclosure. I thought, I was dumb, but I thought that I could take and add to my busy apartment brokerage the sideline of dabbling in foreclosures on the side, not realizing that if you're going to play the game at the courthouse steps, you're just going to take your total focus. And so you're looking at a loser. I mean, I wimped out in 76, and I wimped out in 78 because I wasn't willing to give up this lucrative apartment commission business.
Mm-hmm.
And it only was in 82 when Carter's 16% interest. Who's going to buy, you know, a property you don't need, an apartment house, and pay 16% interest in financing on it? Nobody. So my business went like a, you know, a runaway elevator. And so I sit around, you know, throwing paper clips around the office. And one day I said, oh, man, I got all the time in the world, foreclosure. I went back in. So the third time for Ward Hannigan was a charm, and it worked, and it worked, and it worked. And, you know, I couldn't believe it the first time, and I thought that was beginner's luck. So, but when the second deal I bought was even better than the first, I jumped up and down, did a jig. I mean, and I've been fascinated ever since.
Now, are you starting to go back to the trustee sales now?
Yeah. I've raised $300,000. I think it won't take me long to get to $1 million, and back I go. And, you know, people laugh at me because of all the money I've made. I still use investors, but it's I call it hamburger extender. You know, it's kind of like, you know, whatever you got, you had. And by the way, there's tons and tons of people that have money, as you know, $50,000, $100,000. But just with that much, can't do anything with it. You need to put it together because, you know, these things cost $200,000, $300,000 at the courthouse steps.
And they used to be $500,000 or $600,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that's happened in just the last year is we've got an extension, if you will. We've had hamburger helper added to the capacity of our buying business just because prices have descended so much. So it's really been a big help in saying, okay, we can do a lot of these again, because when they were 500, you really couldn't. Ward, we're out of time for this segment, so thank you for joining us. What's your website?
Well, the website is www.foreclosureforum.com.
Okay, and we'll pick this up in our next segment.
Okay, thanks.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.